guided by a master plan for complete domination of the Earth.
I hope you will like it.
Hello and welcome back to Paranormal Hotline Podcast. My name's Kaylee and I'm joined by my co-ghost, Oisin.
Hello.
How you doing, Oisin?
Oh, now stop that. Of all the pronunciations you could have...
Oisin.
I am well, Oisin.
God, I hate
Oisin. Someone asked me on the weekend in Denmark, so it's like Oisin. I said,
no.
Close, but it's more... It's not really.
Oisin.
It's very much a... They said they're like... It's like Oisin, as in like the sea. And I was like, you know, it's not the worst.
Yeah.
But it's more like washing with an
Washing. Where's the go?
Nah.
Oisin?
Nah, it doesn't. See, that's the thing. I don't know. I read it in a book once, someone describing it as that, and I was like, that's a kind of an odd joke.
It's kind of like Usher, but Oisin.
It's just Oisin.
It's you like should Sheen be Usher with a from now on.
No, I shouldn't.
Okay, fair. That name just does not suit you either.
No.
You're more of an Oisin than an Usher. Okay, I have a really interesting story for you this week. It's kind of paranormal, kind of a mystery. It's a lot, but it's a really strange and unique story. And it's a weird
one. Okay,
now,
but before we start, Kaylee, right. I just saw it on Twitter and I have to send it to you.
Oh, I already sent that to the Discord. Yeah, somebody gave Mothman a tramp stamp. I love it. I love it so much. His glorious ass. Like, his booty is just so juicy. I wonder if it's still there. It has to be, right?
I hope so. So it's what hero?
Yeah. All right, anyway, let's get into this weird story because it's super weird. And I think you're going to like it. I feel like I say that every week now. It's so weird.
We do ones I like.
This story is so weird that it got the attention of Arthur Conan Doyle, who had his own theories about it. And I'll get to that a bit later. But it is known as the Chase Vault incident. Have you ever heard of it before, by any chance?
No, I don't think so. And because I remember we came across, you know, friend of the podcast, Arthur Conan Doyle, previously.
Yeah.
And I specifically didn't want to go too deep into his various things other than, like, you know...
Well, he did talk about, quite a few paranormal things because he was really into it. So this story takes place in the sunny island of Barbados, way far away from us and way warmer than our island, which is always raining. It takes place in a little known town, or a little town, called Austin's. It's spelt almost exactly like Oisin, actually, with a T in it.
Is it?
In the early 1800s. So this story begins with a family known as the Chase family. And the Chase family were slave-owning sugar planters, so not very nice people. And in 1808, they decided that they wanted a family tomb, somewhere that they could bury their family when they pass away. So they purchased one that had already been built. It had been built nearly 80 years ago. It was built out of stone, and it was built into the cliffs near Oisin's Bay. Oisin's Bay? I hope I'm pronouncing that right. This is just like your name, but a place. The seal on the tomb...
We'll never know, so.
Yeah.
We'll never know.
The seal, or like the door of the tomb, was made out of marble, so it was quite heavy. And when the family bought the tomb, there was already one body inside the tomb of a woman whose name was Mrs. Thomasina Goddard. And rather than disturb her body, they decided to let her stay in the tomb, and their family would be placed in the tomb with her when they had passed. So her coffin was made of wood, and that might be more important later on. So just remember, her coffin was made of wood. So not too long after they bought the tomb, it saw the first member of the family to be buried there. It was Mary Ann Marie Chase, who was only 2 years old at the time when she died. And she was buried in the tomb next to Mrs. Goddard in a small child-sized coffin, and it was made of tin. So it's kind of like a tin coffin. They then closed the vault's marble doors and cemented it shut. They put a cement seal on the marble in the door. A few years later, on July 6th of 1812, the Chase family unfortunately had another death. Young Dorcas Chase, who was Marianne's sister, had also passed away at a very young age. So they're both children.
Dorcas.
Dorcas, D-O-R-K-C-A-S. So it's like Dorcas, like Irish, but it's Dorcas.
Dorcas.
I don't know where
I'm
it came from. It's a very strange name.
I'm not making fun of a kid's name. he was eight.
She was a girl. It's a girl's name.
She was eight, sorry.
No, she was eight. I think she was about seven, yeah. Around that time. Seven. Around that age.
No, the name is familiar. It was in, wasn't one of the, in the new Sabrina series, one of the characters was called Dorcas, I think.
Oh, were they? Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
I think so, yeah.
Because they both had died quite young, there was a lot of rumors about the two girls' deaths, and their father, Thomas Chase, he was reportedly a horrible man. He was abusive to his slaves and abusive to his kids, and her death is widely believed to have been a suicide because of him. She died by suicide by starving herself. So it must have been really bad. These are just rumors as well, so these are not confirmed. But
okay.
So the tomb was opened, and she was buried with her sister inside the tomb. She was buried in a lead casket, which is very, very heavy. It took like six men for a small child-sized casket to carry it down into the tomb because it was very, very heavy. But they carried her down and they sealed the tomb again with cement, and that was that. But only a few short weeks later after her death, her father, Thomas Chase, was also found dead. It's suspected that he died by suicide also. There's no real way of confirming it, and we don't know for sure, but that was the rumors, that he had died by suicide. So they prepared him for his burial, and he was also placed in a lead coffin, which, again, was extremely heavy. It was a lot heavier mm-hmm. than most other coffins. And it took eight men to carry his coffin. That's how heavy it was. And the men struggled carrying the coffin because of the narrow doorway down into the vault. And this is where the story mm-hmm. starts to take a supernatural turn. When they opened the tomb, the mourners and onlookers at the funeral were horrified by what they saw. The coffins inside the vault were tossed around the place. Only Mary and Dirka's coffin. Dirka's coffin had been leaned against a wall with the head of the coffin on the floor, and Mary's coffin had also been leaned against a wall. Mrs. Goodard's coffin hadn't been disturbed at all. It was just the two girls' coffins. But the strange thing about it is that the cement seal on the vault hadn't been damaged at all. So they had no idea how somebody would have gotten in there and moved those coffins.
That's great. See, I thought you were going to potentially say that, like, you know, that they'd opened or something, because I know with like a lead lined coffin, because they're sealed, they can build up the pressure inside them and pop open.
Yeah, that wasn't the case at all. This is completely shifted. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So, like, initially people thought that it was either a flood had happened and the coffins were being, like, lifted, but there's so many ways that wouldn't work. The coffins were made of metal, so they wouldn't float, really, unless, there was a lot of force, but there wouldn't have been because it was on a limestone bed, which is porous, so it wouldn't have mm-hmm. flooded, really, at all. They're also, it's on a cliff, it's up high, so there had been no reports of flooding. And no other tombs in the area had been affected by any flooding. There was also no earthquakes reported. And Mrs. Goddard's coffin hadn't been moved at all. It was just the two girls' coffins that were the heavier ones. So it's very strange. It's also worth noting that when they were burying Dirkus, Mary's coffin had been moved. But at the time, they just assumed that it had shifted for some small reason. It had moved off of... It was on top of, I think, Goddard's coffin. And it shifted onto the floor. But they didn't think anything of it at the mm-hmm. time. They just put it back and then buried Dirkus. So the coffins had been moving before this as well. One of these coffins, like I said, Dirkus was made of lead. It took something like six men to move it into the tomb in the first place. How could somebody break in there and just throw it around the place? There was also nothing of value in the tomb, and the seal on the outside wasn't broken. So the authorities were really stumped as to how this could even happen. They had no idea why or how the coffins had been moved. So the coffins were quickly placed back where they originally were, and Mr. Chase's coffin had been added to the tomb. So they resealed the door, and in order to stop anyone from entering the tomb, they put extra cement seal on the outside. So there was extra sealant mm-hmm. on the door in case anybody was getting in. And I think you can see where this is going.
yeah, but it's not only would that stop, very easy to see when cement has been broken.
So it was very clear nobody had been going in that way. So the vault was reopened 4 years later for 11-month-old Samuel Brewster Ames, who was a young Chase relative. This is on September 25th, 1816. And the tomb had kind of become a bit of a legend by now. So when it was announced that they were going to be opening the tomb once more, it attracted quite a crowd. So a lot of people came around to see, were the coffins disturbed again? Lots of people were interested in this. Reverend Orderson of Christ Church, along with the governor of Barbados at the time, Lord Combermere, arrived to attend the burial. So they were going to like officiate the burial and make sure everything was as it should. And as you can probably guess, the coffins were once again thrown around inside the tomb. What? Mrs. Goddard's coffin hadn't been moved, but the heavy lead coffins seemed to have been damaged. And it's like the lead coffins were thrown around the place and it hit off of her wooden coffin. And it was broken in some parts. And apparently even her skeleton was visible hanging out of the coffin in parts.
What?
But hers had actually, it's still in the same spot. It was just the lead ones that have been moved around the place. So the governor decided to investigate the tomb and inspect every part of it for like some form of entrance. You know, like somebody was getting in there, but the mm-hmm. seal wasn't broken. But there was no cracks or gaps in the wall or the floor. And there's definitely like nothing big enough that a person could enter. So the governor's wife wrote, "In my husband's presence, every part of the floor was sounded to ascertain that no subterranean passage or entrance was concealed. It was found to be perfectly firm and solid. No crack was even apparent. The walls, when examined, proved to be perfectly secure. No fracture was visible, and the sides, together with the roof and flooring, presented a structure so solid as if formed an entire slab of stone. The placed coffins were rearranged, the new tenant of the dreary abode was deposited, and when the mourners retired for the funeral procession, the floor was sanded with fine white sand in the presence of Lord Comberer and the assembled crowd. The door was slid into its wanted position, and with the utmost care, the new mortar was laid so as to secure it. When the masons had completed their task, the governor made several impressions in the mixture with his own seal, and many of those attending added various private marks in the wet mortar. So when they were leaving, when they buried the child and placed all the coffins back where they were, they covered the ground in a white sand to see if anybody was in there or if there was water in the area. They'd see that the sand had been disturbed mm-hmm. or if there was footprints, if somebody had gotten in there. So they did that. They covered everything in sand. And then when they were sealing the tomb with the cement again, the governor marked it with his own seal. I think he had like a seal on his ring. He just marked it into the cement so he would know if somebody was resealing it that the sigil wouldn't be there. The seal wouldn't be there.
They'd have to go get his seal, which...
Yeah, not easy to get in Barbados in like 1817, so...
Also, I mean, like, it's his governor's seal.
Yeah, exactly. So, what do you make of this so far?
I really love, like, their logical setup that they're doing, like...
Yeah, it's great.
You know, it's, what would Harry Price do, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's really cool. I just, I love the mm-hmm. thought that went behind it. I'm going to send you a picture here of the outside and the inside of the tomb, just so you get a better idea of what we're talking about here.
I wish I could go back in time and give him like a trail cam.
Yeah.
It's a serious tomb.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. So after the tomb was sealed, people would come and visit the tomb, kind of to get a strange glimpse for themselves of this strange place. Several people said that they heard weird noises coming from inside the tomb, and some people even said that they heard voices coming from inside. So it's kind of like almost like a tourist attraction now. People were coming just to see the outside of this weird tomb that's moving the bodies inside. I don't blame them. I would be so fascinated. I'd be going to look at it all the time.
But can you imagine now? It's your you have your funeral and then you're getting buried. And huge turnout, but in reality, they just want to see who's inside. Like,
I wouldn't be mad. I'd be fine with that. I want to go into the paranormal tomb, unless it means that I can't rest. Like, you know,
you'd be dead. You'd be dead at that point, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be fine with it. So the governor hears the story about voices coming from inside the tomb and decides to do an inspection. Only 8 months after it was sealed, he decides to open the vault again. So in April of 1820, he ordered the vault to be opened, purely out of curiosity to see, you know, had something been moved? People were hearing noises, so did something get moved inside the coffin, or inside the tomb? When he arrived, he checked the seal for his mark, and it was still in place, so it hadn't been disturbed, nobody had gone in through the door, and when he decided he decided to open the vault anyway because he was suspicious of something being inside. He knew nobody had gone in through the doorway anyway. And when they were opening the vault, they knew something was wrong immediately because the marble door was a lot heavier than usual and they struggled to get it open. when they finally managed to move the door, they realized what was causing it to be so heavy. The lead coffin of Thomas was leaning against the door as if to block the entrance. The coffins were once again thrown around the tomb. This time it seemed to be more violent than the last time. Mary Ann's coffin had been smashed into a wall and the corners were chipped off, and Durka's coffin had been smashed on one side, so her arm was actually hanging out the side that was broken. What's more strange is that the white sand that was inside the tomb had not been disturbed at all. So there was no signs of flooding and there had been no earthquakes in the 8 months prior. So,
what?
Very, very strange. There's just no, like, no, I have no idea, you know? I have no idea how this even happened.
I have no thinking on this one, like.
So the governor kind of had enough of all this at this stage. He didn't want to reseal the tomb because he just knew it was going to happen again anyway. So he ordered.
He was fed up at this point.
Yeah, he was pretty much fed up of it. And he ordered all who were buried in the tomb to be reburied in a nearby graveyard. And he ordered that the tomb never be used again for a burial. And even now, over 200 years later, it still remains empty. You can go visit the tomb to this day and see the empty interior of the tomb. So it still is not in use and cannot be used for burials. So what happened to the coffins? Like, why were they thrown around the place? And how can a person, like, possibly do this? Like, I don't... There's... How could they get inside, you know? So we said earlier that Arthur Conan Doyle was interested in this, and he did have some of his own theories as to why the coffin was moved. His theory was that supernatural forces were moving the coffins because they were made of lead. And lead would stop the bodies from decomposing. Oh. Which is just strange. I don't think I've ever heard of a lead coffin before, have you?
No, they would seal the coffins with lead. They'd be lead-lined. Like, yeah. Queen Victoria had a lead-lined coffin. But it was to stop the body decomposing in underground or in mausoleums where, like, it might around might be damp.
Oh, but, right, okay.
But yeah, a lead coffin, I'm not sure. But, like, yeah, definitely lead-lined is a thing.
Wow, like lead-lined on the inside of the coffin, is it?
Yeah.
All right. No, I've never heard
that
before.
Sealed as well, because it's a soft metal, so you can bend it, you know?
That's so strange. And you said earlier that those are known to, like, pop open, is it?
I've heard of it before.
Yeah, well, it makes sense if it's completely sealed and it's not, like, you know, that it could pop open.
No, I was just saying, I can't remember where the airtight popping it out, but I'd heard of a case before, but I can't find the source for it now that I'm after saying it. And we've recorded it.
No takebacks. That's your word.
No takebacks. Yep.
I mean, I believe that would happen, though, you know? Makes sense. There's also beliefs that the limestone in the ground, combined with the spiritual history of Barbados, plus the fact that the area was a British colony, that there were angry spirits that were moving and unsettling the vault, which would make sense.
Understandable.
Yeah, exactly.
Understandable.
Yeah, there was also a lot of ethnic unrest on the island at the time. So, you know, people reckon it was enslaved individuals who were gaining access to the vault and throwing the graves around, which, fair enough. If, you know, if somebody's been an absolute cunt, tossing their grave around would feel good.
Yeah.
I'd enjoy tossing their grave around anyway.
That's what you get.
Yeah. There's also, like, some weird links in this story to the Freemasons. I didn't look into this too much, but apparently the original story is filled with symbols and phrases that Freemasons would identify. I don't know what that means, really, but people have linked the story to the Freemasons, and two men in the story are also, like, known members of the Freemasons. So it's just got this whole weird Freemasons part of the story too, which is wild.
I mean, I imagine who made, you know, a fancy mausoleum. You have to have a mason for it to cut stones like that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I imagine that they are probably Freemasons involved.
Yeah.
Like, in the physical doing of it.
Yeah, yeah. Freemasons is definitely... The term means something different nowadays than it did back in the 1800s, you know?
I think it's still the same sort of organization at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah, it is. But, like, it was definitely a lot more craft oriented.
Oh yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah. A lot of the traditions come from that craft.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and but I can't speak about it. I don't really know.
But yeah, this is one of those stories that it may have grown legs over the years, and by that I mean there's bits and pieces that have been added on. it's hard to tell what the truth is and what parts were added on later. But yeah, that's the story of the Chase Vault. It's pretty spooky, huh? Do you have any idea?
Pretty spooky.
Any idea what you think it might be?
No, but I want to say, you know, the Brits were getting what was coming to them.
I mean, I feel like they deserved worse, to be honest. But
it's like the free square
for me to say that.
It's a free square on the bingo card, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
we're of course talking about the aristocracy.
Yeah.
Like, that's weird with it being sealed up, and I don't know, like, could someone have just been having them on? And
I
like,
know,
inside
it's so
jobbing
hard to
it?
Tell.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. It's a weird story, though. I love it so much. It's such a... It's a good ghost story, you know?
Yeah, it is. It is a good ghost story.
The part of it that doesn't... The reason it doesn't feel like a made-up story to me is there's no explanation. You know, like, normally in a story like this, there, if it was made up, there'd be a little bit like, oh, he upset a local woman who was a... I know.
Oh, yeah.
And then, she put a curse on him or something, and then the graves were moved around. But there's literally no explanation at all. It just
seems
to be happening.
They're just finding the thing, and then people are speculating. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I love it. It's really interesting. It's one of those weird stories that you just remember when you hear it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I loved it. It's pretty good. I'm glad we got to cover it. That's the story of the Chase Vault. I hope you all enjoyed that story. If you did, remember to leave us a review wherever you're listening to the podcast. We always appreciate it. And we'll catch you next Tuesday for more spooky stories. Bye.
Bye-bye.